Welcome to the fifth of six campus ministry highlights. This is Pastor Marcus Zill, LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU. During this time together, we've been highlighting different types of campus ministries, and joining with us today is Reverend Peter Burfind, Pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church and Student Ministries in Toledo, Ohio, serving students at the University of Toledo. Welcome, Pastor Burfind.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. One of the things that I am dying to ask you about, we have had on this program several different types of campus ministries, a couple full-time campus ministries, a couple kind of traditional part-time campus ministries where an associate pastor is helping lead the outreach or someone else. But you have a really unique situation in Toledo. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been serving there and how long your congregation and you have been outreached in campus ministry and kind of what it looks like.
I've been at my congregation for 16 years, and what's unique about our situation is we started out as kind of a traditional urban-type parish situation, and just because of the general decline of membership, you know, that's happening in a lot of urban congregations, we've sort of had to move from one location to another. And finally, in the last couple of years, I sort of put a bug in the ear of our leaders and said, you know, how about we try and get into campus ministry? Let's transition into that kind of ministry. You know, our arrow might begin to point up again. You know, our arrow's been pointing down for so long. And so 2 years ago, we actually moved on to the University of Toledo campus. We meet out of a recital hall at the Center for Performing Arts, and we meet there and have our weekly services there with communion every week. We're probably the only church service there that has a traditional liturgical service, and you know, the students have responded to it. We're just starting, and so, you know, we're still trying to build the ministry up, but I like to say to people that our arrow is finally pointing up again after several years of decline.
Now, you're saying that your entire church meets on campus, is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
And did you have to go through, what kind of hoops did you have to jump through to be able to use the Performing Arts or Recital Center there?
Surprisingly, not much at all. You know, it's a recital hall, and on Sunday morning, it's a pretty sparse area. Students tend to be sleeping in on Sunday morning. And so it's an empty building, and the recital hall is actually kind of a nice facility. It actually has a pipe organ in it. Believe it or not, it needed to be fixed up a little bit, but we have used it, and not too much smoke comes off of it when we use it, but that actually did happen once. But we have a pipe organ there that we're kind of thinking about fixing, and it actually becomes a pretty good liturgical sacred environment. It's not a bad place to meet.
Well, I think that's just absolutely awesome to take a space that it's available to you. Turning it into a churchly worship space as much as you're able, make the best of it. Have you had any chances to kind of engage? You know, sometimes when you go on campus like that, you'd be surprised who you bump into and who you get involved. Have you had a chance to kind of pick up some people that have maybe helped with the worship services, like some students?
That's been one of the blessings, is that because we're meeting in the Center for Performing Arts, sort of the music department. We posted, when we first got there, we posted and said, hey, are you interested in playing, you know, Bach music and being paid for it? And we got a few responses. We got a grad student that came in, a grad student from China who came and played with us. And, you know, I mean, she was there for about a year. Now she's moved on. But, we do get a few musicians here and there. And that is one area of the ministry, is ministering to the music students.
Well, that's absolutely great, because I've often told people that when you're trying to start campus ministry, you have to kind of go to the turf of the college campus, and you guys have done it in a really big and bold way. You're actually having your church services there.
Yeah, that's actually pretty important for us. Is one of our students we gained is actually a Nigerian girl. We can talk about this later as far as the international aspect of campus ministry. You know, missions are right, you know, in our backyard sometimes, but this girl happened to be walking down the sidewalk, and because that morning we wrote in chalk and said traditional historic worship at the location we're at, she saw that, walked in, and went through catechism. We baptized her last year, and she's probably our most faithful member there every week.
Wow. All because you chalked something on the sidewalk and you happened to be there.
Of all the other advertising, you know, we bought one of those ads in the calendar that all the students get. That we didn't get anybody from that. You post stuff all over. You don't get anything from that, but the chalk, that's what you noticed. Who knows what God will use to bring someone there.
Well, and if my intuition is correct, I bet, was she originally just intrigued as to, oh, I heard about these Christian church services. Did she have any background, any faith background
up,
at all?
She had grown up Pentecostal, so she had never been baptized. She actually went to Catholic boarding school during her whole time in Nigeria. She's actually an incredible girl. She was 17 at the time, and basically living in this foreign country all on her own. And we've kind of taken her under our wings and teaching her how to drive right now. She's a neat person. Very independent.
Well, that is fantastic, and it underscores for all of our listeners how important the opportunities are for international outreach.
Absolutely.
I always tell people that there's really, as I see it, four main reasons why we need to be on campus. First of all, there's reaching out to our own, keeping them in the faith. Second, there's the opportunities for witness to the atheists, the agnostics. We're, of course, becoming, unfortunately, a much more de-Christianized nation. And so the evangelism opportunities are even greater. Then you have the opportunities to reach out to all these international students. In many cases, I mean, right now, I don't know if we could really get to Nigeria at the moment. Maybe even couldn't even fly there if we wanted with all the Ebola scares and whatnot. And here you have this this gal right here who's interested in learning and hearing the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the campus environment as a mission field, I don't know why our Senate isn't pouring 75% of its resources into this, because everything kind of happens at the campus. That is where we are losing a lot of our young people. They go to college, they get these challenges that they're not equipped to deal with, and so they just kind of float away with where the world is going. You get this international, you know, bunch that allows us to, you know, to do actual mission, you know, the type of stuff you traditionally think about doing in the mission field. You can actually do it in most people's backyards. There's just so many different areas where if we beef up the campus ministry, it's such a powerful ministry that I'm just, like I say, I'm shocked that we're not devoting more resources to it.
Well, I'm God willing, that'll change in time. And if I have anything to do with it, I'll certainly try to help. Right now, we're just tickled to death that the Office of National Mission and President Harrison are so incredibly supportive. But the resources are needed. Those of you that are listening out there, I often got asked when I was at the University of Wyoming, you know, how could I justify being a full-time campus pastor with only 35, 40 students under my care? And I'm thinking, you know, I need four or five of me. I need someone just doing international outreach. I need someone just evangelizing the unbelievers on campus. We need more. It's endless. The more you get involved, the bigger the presence you create. I can't imagine running out of opportunities on the mission field that is our college campuses. And I was going to mention one of the last things that that I always like to point out of the fourth thing is I think that we need to be there to buoy it, kind of bump up against the academic culture and say, hey, we have something to say in the kingdom of the left, too. But speaking of the kingdom of the left, you also serve as a chaplain.
Yeah,
tell us about that. And I'm interested. Do you see any similarities and differences with that kind of work with working with college students?
Well, definitely. You know, I'm dealing with the millennial age group, and yeah, there's a lot of especially the particular unit I work in as an Army chaplain is a civil affairs unit, and that tends to have a lot of. You know, the enlisted guys are all in school and they're all, you know, studying. They're all very highly intelligent type kids. And so, yeah, there is a lot of parallel there. But it's definitely fun to get an insight on what's going on with these 20-somethings and kind of seeing where they're at spiritually. So, yeah, there's a lot of cross there. But that's also, I mean, I might add that's also an area of the ministry at UT as a campus, as an Army chaplain. There's also the ROTC group there. They need a lot of ministry, but this is a big area that I think is another area where you know, we kind of forget about, but it's veterans. Veterans come back from deployments, and they have the GI Bill, and they go to school. Well, they're 26 and have this, you know, incredible experience under their belt, and then they go back to school with, you know, these kids that are just out of high school, and there's this big disconnect. And so Missouri Synod actually has this ministry called Operation Barnabas that deals with that, and we're kind of the only church body that has that kind of ministry. So that's another area that we can add, and at least especially in my unique situation, that I can add at the University of Toledo.
Well, absolutely. There's a lot of similarities. In chaplaincy, you're working with people that are at a transient time in their life. I know the same as college students. They're displaced. They're dislocated from their home. They're working their way through trying to develop their vocational awareness of where they're going to go in terms of their career. And so there are just an awful lot of similarities.
Yeah.
In fact, it's always intrigued me that to read some of the history went in the heyday of the Missouri Synod when we were just building campus ministries everywhere. It was right after World War II.
Huh.
And all of the soldiers came back and they all decided to go to school. Not only did they all start having children, because that's kind of what guys do when they come back to war, but then they also started going back themselves to school. And so we had this massive influx of college students, not just 18 to 22-year-olds, but guys in their mid-20s. And the church grew, and they realized that they needed to start planning campus ministries.
Absolutely.
In force. So there's a lot
of... I think we're in a similar situation like that. We got a lot of veterans, and they're all... you know, tapping into that GI Bill, so they're going to school. So there is a huge opportunity in my situation where you have a campus pastor who's also an Army chaplain. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I hope that can be sort of a pilot program for using that in different universities, of getting a, you know, an Army reservist chaplain and giving him a campus ministry. That kind of combination could really, I think, be fruitful eventually.
Well, Pastor Burfein, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to visit with you about this, and we'll see what we can do on that front. Thank you for all you do. You have a book out. Tell us a little bit about your book in just a couple seconds and where people can find it.
Yeah, the book is called Gnostic America, a reading of contemporary American culture and religion according to Christianity's oldest heresy. I used the book a lot in the campus ministry last year, especially when we were going over the Gospel of John, but it deals with... this ancient heresy known as Gnosticism, which is essentially the New Age movement of the ancient world. And it's sort of, you know, when you hear people say, oh, I'm spiritual but not religious, that is where spirituality is moving in American history, American religious history. That's where a lot of our millennial generation kids are at. A lot of these 20-somethings, you know, they believe they're against the institution. They're against the institution of the church. But they still retain some sort of spirituality. Well, a lot of times you scratch away at the surface and you see what's going on, and they have this kind of Gnostic spirituality. And I encourage anybody who's listening to get this book, Gnostic America.
Thanks again. If you're a college student, you work with college students, or want to be involved in campus ministry, please join us this coming January 5th to 7th in St. Louis for Taboo, the long-awaited follow-up to the 2013 Unwrapped National Campus Ministry Conference. This year, we'll be addressing a lot of timely topics related to marriage, dating, and sexuality. Registration closes on November 17th. You can learn more about Taboo and everything associated with LCMSU at www.lcms.org/lcmsu.